Welcome to another podcast by Every Nation Brisbane. We're so glad you can join us here today. For more information about our church, visit us on the web at enbrisbane.org. Please enjoy the following message.
Awesome. So this is our team here. We've got our youngest members, Silas, and where's Theo? Oh, he's there? Yeah. Our little member there, he was 2.5. He's our youngest. Won't tell you the eldest, no. but I just wanted to introduce you to the team because these are the ones that you've been praying for and our spiritual family have been praying for while we've been gone. We want to say thank you so much. We really felt the effects of your prayers. We really felt so privileged to go on behalf of Every Nation Brisbane and to really represent the family here. So Every Nation Fiji is just literally been started up just over a year ago. And they started with just reaching out to the community. And now they've started services. And it was so exciting to be a part of those. So I'll be able to just share some testimonies. I've got some people sharing. Raywin and Siossi, John and Deanie are going to be sharing with us. And I will also share. But please do speak to any of our team about what we've experienced. Each one has multiple testimonies, multiple stories that we'd love to share with you. And take us out for coffee and things like that. Because we're all... Us, yes, we're all financially depleted at the moment, so we need to be fed and nourished. But hey, I'm being truthful here. So just thank you. We really, really appreciate your prayers and your support. We were able to raise $3,000 to take to our team there to be a blessing to the communities that they're reaching out to the villages and a lot of the areas that are in extreme poverty. We're able to be a blessing. So thank you so much for giving generously to that. So I'll just share quickly while the team runs. So this is all of us here. So the day we left to go to Suva. So we're all so excited, all so expectant about what God was going to do, but not knowing what was ahead of us. And then this is our Every Nation Fiji team. So this is Pastor Jarrett, who's just in the blue shirt there, and his wife Nicole, Pastor Zonda and his wife Lorna. And then we have Fitaloa, who's the campus director, Tyler on the left there. She helps with the community and youth outreach. And then we've got Susella, who's the worship director and also helps on campus. So this is the small team that they have in Fiji. And yet they've been able to reach over 120 people at this stage. We had a service last Sunday. We had over 120 people in the service, which is amazing. That's only their second service. So God is doing great and mighty things. Right now, what we'd like to show you is a video.
Bula, everybody. First of all, I just want to say it's an absolute honor and joy to be able to testify what the Lord did in Fiji. And I just want to just emphasize what the Lord did in Fiji, because it was all God. So when the Lord first spoke to me about, and I said me, because he first spoke to me, about going to Fiji, I was like super excited because he said, you know what, Ray, I'm going to show you guys something amazing. I'm going to not only change your hearts, but many hearts in Fiji as well. And I was absolutely excited about this. I hear God's voice, as most of you all do, and I was like, yes, I'm ready to run with this. So I ran home and I said, husband, we're going to Fiji. God's calling us to Fiji. And he's like, I'm not feeling it, eh? And I'm like, serious? No, he wants to show us something real great. It's going to just blow our minds. And he said, well, you go then. I'm like, no, this has to be us. And then that's when the spiritual battle began. Literally. Even for us standing up right here to testify this has been a battle right up until yesterday morning. So praise God we're here and testifying what God has done. So I've got this photo of Siossi and I, and the reason why I put this up here is because it was something that God revealed to me, that Siossi and I are stronger together. Now, I took a while to click onto this because I kind of went, no, I'm going to just go here and you can catch up. But God really showed us through working together as a team in Fiji that we are literally stronger together. So that's why I've put this here. It also shows to me, when I look at this picture, we're ordinary people. Like we're ordinary, but when you just sell yourself out for God, He turns that ordinary into extraordinary. And He opens up doors that ordinary people cannot do. And that's exactly what He did for us in Fiji. Now, most of you may have heard that last week Pastor Nelly mentioned that we had the privilege of sitting with the president of Fiji. I'll go back to the team photo because I just want to just talk about, a lot of people say, how did that happen? And I'm like, in all honesty, I don't know how it happened. God allowed it to happen. He opened the doors. But it's the preparation. I want to just talk about the team. The team that just stood up here, that if you look around here, it's the Every Nation Church. I've invited some of the supporters who help support us financially and prayerfully. It's everyone that helped us to move with purpose that helped the doors open, okay? I guess I'm just saying this because it was one thing that really meant a lot to us. And I'm going to just talk about like a rugby game, or for those who have done tough mudder, it's kind of like a 20K mud run and you've got heaps of obstacles, if you like that kind of thing, which I do. What you do is you train for it, and you train hard. You got to commit to it, you got to show up to trainings, you got to exercise, you really got to get that team camaraderie going. And that's what happened with our team. Through the prayers, through the fasting that we did, through the prophecies, through the word of encouragement, through the sacrifice that all the team did, we were able to just prepare, like God was able to prepare the way in order for the doors to be open. So it was not just COC and I that were walking in to meet the president. We walked with our team and with the Every Nation Church, with Nelly and Tina, and with our supporters God opened the doors because of that support. So we just want to say thank you for standing with us during this time. So, here's the picture. George, honestly, we didn't even know who the president was. We were like, we got a text saying, His Excellency would like to see you, COC. And we're like, who's His Excellency? I thought Jesus was His Excellency. But it's this guy, and huge respect to this guy. He's the president of Fiji. He's like the most important man in Fiji. Isn't God good to open that door? And now we've got a door there that's open. And I believe that this time, right here, that time, it's not the end of it. You know, that God's going to allow that door to go through with our Every Nation team in Fiji. One thing, I put this photo here because, do you see these two boys here? That's Silas, young Silas, Deanie and John's son. And also Lincoln, which is Lorna and Zonda's son. Now, as we were, I think this was an hour before we were going to meet the president. And in the distance, God drew us to this bigger man. And we stopped and we prayed for him. And we didn't realize that these two warriors were standing next to us, praying alongside this man as well. And then when we spoke life into this man, he looked up and he said, thank you so much. It's as if we gave $100 to him, but we gave him nothing. But it's like there was so much life after that simple prayer. So I just wanted to point out, because what God also spoke to us during this time is that now, no matter if you're the beggar on the street or His Excellency, these are my people. So then when we walked into the president's house, we walked in knowing that these are God's people. There's no status, yeah? Oh, okay. And also during our preparations, sorry about that photo, but it was the only one I took. During the preparation, what Tina mentioned is that she told us to pray for specific people. Pray for specific people so that when you see them, that you'll know what to pray for them for. And so as I meditated and reflected on that, God gave me a vision of a woman. She was kind of like on the ground with her head down, so I didn't see her face. But this lady, there was blood everywhere. And so I was like, okay. And this was actually the last day we were there. And I was talking with Roisin the night before, saying, look, God put a picture of this woman, but she hasn't come yet. So I was really asking God to show me this lady. So as we were walking through the villages, this young man here with no shirt on, he was standing at the door and he's like, "Bulla!" And so we went in and gave him some bread. And then inside was this lady. And me just not thinking about the vision that God gave me, we're sitting on the floor, and then I noticed blood on her skirt. And I was like, oh my gosh, my heart started pounding and thinking, oh Lord, is this the lady? And then as he was talking, he mentioned that his wife was an amputee, hence the no legs on the floor. So straight away, I was able to pray over her. The verse about you've been bleeding for 12 years, God wants to heal you. And from just those words, she started to break down and just God started to minister to her. So that I just wanted to share that just in the preparation, just the importance of prepping when you go on these missions trips. Because these missions trips are not just, you know, for like ordinary people like us, but also for everyone out there. You know, and what we did back there, there's an overflow and an excitement that now we can go into our local community and continue to do what God's called us to do. So that's me. Thank you for listening. I'm just going to hand over to my husband.
Thank you. I have got 30 seconds. The power of the mic. Look, can I just get somebody, show of hands, who has been on a mission trip? Wow, that's awesome. Can everyone else that didn't put their hand up, put their hand up? Please, everyone. Everyone here, every day, is on a mission trip. Let me remind you that. Everyone that you come in contact with is a mission trip. I just want to quickly touch on that. When my wife told me that we were going to Fiji, last time I was in Tonga, I was 85. I left the shores of Tonga, dusted off the dust of Tonga, threw my journals out, that's it, never going back. In the island way, when you leave Tonga, doesn't matter where you go. Once you leave the shores of Tonga, you've made it in the world, you've made it. You're out of there, see you later, not going back. When I went to Fiji, it did stir me up. It makes me want to go back to Tonga, so... You know, I will say that I will end up going to Tonga. To be honest with you, I feel like there's still more work to be done in Fiji. So just to let you know, get ready, you know, you might be able to come and help us. I want to strongly just say one more other point is that fear of leaving Tonga to go back to be reminded of the hard work, having nothing, growing up, no light switches, those pump-up kerosene lanterns in the night, cooking on no electricity. To cook something, it takes about 3 hours, just to let you know that. Don't let that fear limit you from what you're capable of. Lift the lid. Just going on to see His Excellency, it was so surreal. I will tell you that right now. I had to pinch myself to actually, man, am I still alive here, or what is this, a dream? But just to cap it off, don't let limitations get you to where you can be, where God can use you. Don't be afraid. Thanks, everyone. That's it for me.
Oh, gosh, I don't even know where to start. So much happened for us and our family over in Fiji, and... yeah, the whole preparation thing that Ray was talking about, we definitely went through a time where God really had to prepare us as a family and as a married couple to go over. A friend of ours over there quoted somebody, I can't remember who the quote belongs to, but it goes, when you read a really good book, you don't praise the pen, you praise the author. My son said, that was Jack. Yeah, it was Jack. So Jack was our friend. I just wanted to say that when Jack said that, it just really, I don't know, it made everything so clear to me why my family and I were in Tonga. Getting confused. Why we're in Fiji. I'm speaking it forth. I'm coming with you, Siosi. Because we are merely just instruments and tools, and God is the author. So yeah, we just want to give praise back to the author of our lives and the author of that chapter of our life that God was so gracious to let us be a part of and be used to write out. I also want to encourage the church this morning just with a scripture, 2 Corinthians 10:15. As your faith is increased, we shall be greatly enlarged by you in our own sphere. The process that my family and I went through to get to Fiji, it was like a process of God really calling our faith out of us and really drawing us to a place where we had no other option but to just trust in Him and have faith in Him. And even though we, you know, a lot of us in the team made lots of sacrifices, and I'm so proud of our team, financial sacrifices, resource-wise, the trials that our team went through with family as well, it was just, They're just such awesome people, and we were very lucky to be surrounded by each and every one of you guys. But with what little we went over there with, we really helped to enlarge, I don't know what the word is, the sphere and the faith of the people there as well. Because as we have, now that we're back here, we're hearing reports that people are just really on fire for God and really wanting to walk in the calling over their life. So we just felt really blessed, you know, and when we reflected, it was like, that's why we went through all of that, and that's why God really took us through what we went through. When I was in Fiji, I was very lucky to take part in a mobile kindy. There's a lady over there, she's just so amazing. Her name's Annalise, and her son, Timisia. They run a mobile kindy that goes out into the villages to offer an educational program for young children in families who can't afford to put their children into education programs in the city. So she takes out resources in this one little metal box. It's probably like not even a meter by, you know, half a meter. It's not much inside the box at all. It's just a couple of pairs of scissors, paper, some glue sticks, nothing too fancy. But it was enough for this woman to go out and really reach the villages and the children. I'm a primary school teacher, so I know God has really given me a lot of ideas about what I could do here as an educator, and I'd kind of got really lethargic and quite, you know, a little bit lazy with the things that God had spoken to me about. But when I sat and watched Annalise teach this group of about 10 children out of her metal box in the middle of nowhere in the jungle, pretty much, I was really inspired. And I felt very convicted because in this country where so much is available to us and so we have access to so much, I kind of felt like I had no right to come back here and say that I don't have time to do that, you know. And God was reminding me that, you know, I am enough and we are enough. And we don't need all the resources that the Western world says that we can have or have access to. All we need is ourselves and a readiness for God to use us. We are merely tools, we are merely instruments, and as long as we are ready, God can just do the rest. And So Andrew and Nicola have been a real inspiration to me as well in this whole path of being an educator. And yeah, I'm just really ready to do what we have always sort of talked about. And we ended up taking Silas to a arts and crafts workshop, and there was a lady there who is actually from Brisbane, and she heard us saying that we're from Brisbane and we're from Chermside, and she came, popped her head out, and she was like, oh, I'm from Chermside too. And I was like, oh, awesome. And she said, yeah, I own this school. And I said to her, oh, wow, that's so awesome. And then I started to talk to her about, you know, my vision for bilingual education here in Queensland, Brisbane. And she was like, you know what, I am actually in the process of starting a school, a cultural school in Brisbane, and I've been praying and asking God to bring somebody to help me with this. And so it just kind of was like, yeah, God really just did stuff, and all I had to do was just walk it out, you know, walk in life, I suppose, just live life and stay connected to God. And yeah, honestly, I just feel like God is so faithful. And I just wanted to encourage you guys, you know, if you feel like you're in a place at the moment where God has spoken to you, but you've felt like, you know, things have come up against you and it's kind of limited you into stepping out in all that God has called for you to be, just remember that what you do and the struggle that you go through here will be, and the fight that you go through will be somebody else's victory. So I just want to encourage the church this morning. Thank you for praying for us, and thank you for sending us over there. And Roisin, such an amazing leader. We really are thankful for everything that you did. And yeah, thanks everyone.
Hey guys, I've got a little scripture here. Matthew 17:20. Because of your unbelief, I say to you, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you. So basically, about 3 months ago, I sort of met up with Nellie, and I was sort of receiving the scripture, and Nellie sort of said, you know, what do you and your family sort of want to do in the future? And I said, I believe it really sort of called to missions, but I didn't really know how. And then he sort of mentioned, oh, there's actually a mission trip going to Fiji in a couple of months. So I feel you, Ray. So I too came home to my wife and said the same thing. And it was a bit of a mission at first. That was my first mission, was to convince my wife that we were to go to Fiji. I think, to be honest, like a lot of the things that we were going through as a family, honestly, we're not perfect, man. And one thing I've learned in this mission trip, that God will use anyone, hey. Like, if you know my life... I know if you guys know my life, or you know where we've come from, I know I can testify today that God will use you when you step out in faith, regardless. Honestly, as soon as I said, yeah, we're going to go, man, everything came. Like, we started arguing. Work got, you know, longer hours, and the bills keep piling up. But I just said, we need to go. Regardless of what the finances are going to say, we need to step out. And I think from there, like a week before we left, Silas gave his life to God. And, man. And while we're over there, we were in Fiji, they were doing a baptism in the church on the Sunday there, and Silas came to me a couple of nights before, and he goes, Dad, I want to get baptized. And I said, no, we'll wait till we get back to Brisbane. He said, no, Dad, I really want to get baptized here. This is where we came for a mission. I said, okay. So we spoke to Pastor Jared and got everything happening, and from there, going back to the scripture, how we stepped out in faith, I think if Dini and I didn't obey God and step out, I think Silas wouldn't have given his life. Silas wouldn't have stepped out and got baptized there. Even his friend joined him and jumped in the pool and got baptized too. So there was a picture there I want to quickly show. So there's Lincoln and Silas. And we're playing at this village where it's very low income. There's probably like 3 or 4 families to one house. So we're all playing touch on this rocky road with all the boys. And then Silas asked one of the kids, can we pray for you? So this is like, I sort of just heard him on the side, so I've just turned over and taken a photo. But this is just another impact. I see Silas. So, yeah, it's a bit blurry. But so these guys were from the village that we went and visited. And from there, they actually came and visited us at church. And I think it was about a half an hour bus ride or something. But they all come with, like, you know, just at the way they are. And I think they were just really hungry for what we had. And we carried what God had. It was his love for people. And I think it's something that we really, want to testify, really. Because I can honestly say, man, like, regardless of what you guys are going through, man, we are called to go and mission, whether it's what you're saying, whether it's in your backyard, whether it's in your, you know, next door neighbor, the taxi driver, that is your mission field. And I think because God has definitely taken us, because we've been through a lot as a family. And even a lot of my friends were saying at school, you know, even growing up, a lot of my friends were saying, like, this is our 10-year anniversary, and this is something I can stand and say, only because of God that we can stand here and say, this is going to be our 10 years, it's going to happen. A lot of my friends were saying, this is a ring, it's going to be suffering. But I said, no, this is my wedding ring, and I'm going to wear it proud because this is my wife and my family. So, I know Dini's always playing that song, I'll put a ring on it, so tell Beyonce, we'll put a ring on it. But anyway, man, thank you for your prayers, and just thank you so much for your encouragement, and even see the rest of the boys and the girls here, that they've got so much to share. And there's just so many testimonies I want to release out, but yeah, okay, be blessed, fam.
Wow, I just, It's kind of amazing just hearing their journeys, and like John said, we have so many stories. You know, just from 10 days is just incredible what God did in each of us as well as over there. So make sure you get time with each of us. But thank you, John and Deanie. Thank you, Siossi and Ray. You guys are such inspirations to all of us. We're so grateful that you joined us on the team, and I'm so grateful you brought your boys as well, Deanie and John. They were such a blessing. We love them. Fiji loves them as well. I want you to look at this image just for a moment. Has anyone seen these images before? So the whole idea behind magic eyes is you stare at it. You stare at it closely. It's close enough that you go cross-eyed, and then you come back from it, and you should be able to see an image behind that image. Can anyone see an image behind that image? Can anyone see an image behind that image? And if you can, put your hand up. Don't worry, it took me about 20 minutes. And I had it like in front of my face. Can anyone see this? Did anyone see that? I didn't see it for ages. Okay, it's behind it. So the whole concept behind magic eye is that actually it's to fool your mind into thinking that it's just a design, just a picture, but there's actually something a lot deeper than that behind it. And today what I'm going to talk about is to see or not to see. So when you're looking through binoculars, you're looking at something in the distance. Without the binoculars, you can't see much detail until you use binoculars and you look through them and you can see really defined detail. It's like a magnifying glass. It just picks out detail and it shows you clear words or clear images. But so many of us don't put the binoculars on and we cannot see what's ahead of us. What I'm going to share with you today is from Numbers 13. So just turn with me in your Bibles to Numbers 13. Otherwise, we've got the scriptures on the screen. So this is where the Israelites had been in slavery to the Egyptians for about 400 years. And Moses had been sent as a deliverer. And he said to Pharaoh, "Let my people go." And eventually the people were allowed to go. And God performed miracles. He parted the Red Sea, or the Israelites walked through it. He freed them from the slavery. And he gave them literally food and provision every single day. And what he promised the people was that he had a promised land awaiting for them. He promised them that there would be a land flowing with milk and honey, which at that time was a land of decadent, you know, desires to be fulfilled. Everything they've ever wanted would be in this land. Now, for a people that have been in slavery for 400 years, you can imagine the anticipation that they felt. But an 11-day journey took 40 years. Now, during that 40 years, God was testing his people. He was testing them. He was getting them to trust him. But what they continued to encounter was they were looking at the physical environment of their wilderness. They could not see beyond what they would see with their natural eyes. And God continued to remind them that he was faithful, that he was going to take them into their promised land. And so what happened was the Israelites, Moses decided to send out some spies. So the promised land was currently being taken over by another a tribe, and there were 12 spies that were sent out. So we'll read through the story together. The Lord said to Moses, "Send some men to explore the land of Canaan, which I am giving to the Israelites. From each ancestral tribe, send one of its leaders." When Moses sent them to explore Canaan, he said, "Go up through the Negev and on into the hill country. See what the land is like and whether the people who live there are strong or weak, few or many." Notice how the Lord said to Moses the land he was giving the Israelites. He was going to literally give it to them. Although it was inhabited by another tribe, he was going to be giving it to them. Okay, and if anyone's been to Israel before, they'll know. I've been there years ago. It's very rocky. It's very dry and like a desert. And so the amount of, you know, for them walking around in the wilderness, it was not very exciting at all. It's literally just rock and rubble, and there's not much to see. But yet they were being promised something even greater than that, what their natural eye could see. So what kind of land do they live in? These are the questions that Moses asked. Is it good or bad? What kind of towns do they live in? Are they unwalled or fortified? How is the soil? Is it fertile or poor? Are there trees in it or not? Do your best to bring back some of the fruit of the land. It was the season for the first ripe grapes. So they went up and explored the land. So 12 men were sent out from the Israelite tribe, and they went out to spy out, to find out what was in the land. When they reached the valley of Eshcol, they cut off a branch bearing a single cluster of grapes. Two of them carried it on a pole between them, along with some pomegranates and figs. They gave Moses this account. We went into the land to which you sent us, and it does flow with milk and honey. Here is its fruit. Now, the fruit that they were asked to go and collect is actually very interesting. When you look into the symbolism behind these fruits, it's really interesting in the Bible. Grapes are commonly known as a sign of fertility or a sign of produce, so of harvest. Of when the grapes are being harvested, there is abundance. Okay, pomegranates also speak of provision, and they speak of overflow. Figs, they speak of, again, provision from God, but also prosperity. And so they were literally bringing back the promise of what the land, what God had said the land would provide, they brought it back in the means of these symbols. But, everyone say but. The people who live there are powerful and the cities are fortified and very large. So here they're bringing back the fruit that's exciting for these people that have been walking around in the desert for 40 years. You know, they've not had that fruit for such a long time. Their mouths are probably salivating, excited, just thinking about what that would even taste like. But yet, there was the reality of the situation, which was that the land was inhabited. How could they possibly go into a land where there were already people there? And the cities were fortified, which means that they were barricaded, which means that they were two probably very, very high-walled, very difficult to go into, very difficult to invade. But, again, but the men who had gone up with him said, "We can't attack those people. They are stronger than we are." And they spread among the Israelites a bad report about the land they had explored. How many of you know that when you have an incredible experience or an encounter with God, and you come back and you share with someone, and they might not get it, they haven't seen what you've seen, and so, you know, they might be a little bit negative or pessimistic, yet you've encountered it. You know, I look at Siossi and Raywin, John and Deanie, they've encountered, and many of our team, they've encountered what we've seen with our natural eye has been amazing. You know, I can say that Every Nation Fiji is so fruitful, and the people that we encountered there are just incredible people. You know, we've seen it with our natural eye, but how many of you in this room have not yet seen that? And how many of you need to see it to believe it, or need to see it to understand it, or to feel what we felt? But what happened was, the Israelites, they didn't see what the spies had seen, and they chose to look with their natural eyes and to consider the bad report above the good report. They said, "We seemed like grasshoppers in our own eyes, and we looked the same to them." So they were looking at themselves, thinking how small they were. I can imagine them just peering over and looking at the soldiers on duty, you know, manning the fortified walls. They were looking into it going, "Oh, how is it possible we don't have weapons, we don't have armor? How can we possibly take over the city?" And so they come back and they're like, "Man, you know, the land is so fruitful. There's so much to harvest. This is the land that God's promising us." But yet, there's resistance, there's challenges, there's trials. How are we possibly going to be able to get into that land? And they looked at their own selves. They looked at their own ordinary, average selves, and they said, "You know what? We can't do it." You know, when I think about a grasshopper mentality, I think it's when often we are in fear of what we have in front of us, and we're looking just in the natural to what's in front of us. Now, for many of you, that might be simply day-to-day life. There might be literally challenges that you're going through. For instance, I don't even just paying bills or just getting through your day-to-day activities. And there's fear, there's anxiety, there's concern, there's worry. And what we can do is we can look with our natural eyes and forget that God has given us faith to stand on. He's given us an ability to look beyond what our natural eye can see and trust and believe Him that He will provide no matter what. See, the grasshopper mentality actually causes us to look at ourselves as insignificant, undervalued, underprivileged. You know what Deanie shared? I love what she shared. This woman has hardly any resources, but yet she's giving of what she has to these villagers. She has every excuse. She has every excuse to go like, "You know what? I don't have the finances to provide these kids. Why don't I just stop now?" why don't I just stop? Because I can't be making a difference. This lady is making a huge difference in Fiji, and it just started with using what God had given in her hands, what he'd put in her hands, and she's able to use and bless so many kids and so many families. You know, it's motivated by fear, and it cripples our faith. It cripples our faith. It's like someone is literally strangling you, strangling the joy out of you, strangling the very essence of who God has called you to be. And I know that some of you in this room need to hear this today, because I know I need to hear this. I need to hear this as well, because literally to walk by faith is a challenge. It's a challenge, but it requires everything. It requires everything. It requires more than what we can see with our natural eye. It requires everything. And you know what? It comes from a place where we're looking inward and we're not looking outward to see what God has for us. Numbers 14 says, that night, all the members of the community raised their voices and wept aloud. All the Israelites grumbled against Moses and Aaron, and the whole assembly said to them, if only we had died in Egypt or in this wilderness, why is the Lord bringing us to this land only to let us fall by the sword? Can you imagine how depressed they must have felt? They were so excited going into the promised land. They're thinking it's uninhabited, so it's free for all. They can just walk on in there. Then they realize there's resistance. How quick are they to go, oh man, we should just go back to slavery. You know, it doesn't matter what God's done for them in the wilderness with parting the Red Sea or the miracles he's performed. They were ready to just give up. How many of you today have been in a situation where you've been so discouraged, you just felt so insignificant, you just want to give up? You're just done. You just want to give up and just walk away. Because you know what? Maybe your past is better than what currently you're in right now. But I want to encourage you guys today, that's not what they did. They could have. They could have just simply wallowed in, you know, in their self-pity. But actually, there were two spies that came back with a good report. Their names were Joshua and Caleb. Now, they saw what the other 10 spies had seen. Don't get me wrong, it wasn't like they were having a hallucination. They saw the giants. They saw these people with armor, with swords. They knew how hard it would be to go into the land, to go into the promised land. However, there was another but. Everyone say but. Okay? Because my servant Caleb has a different spirit and follows me wholeheartedly, I will bring him into the land he went to, and his descendants will inherit it. And what happened is, God was just simply looking for those with a small amount of faith. He was just looking for those who were willing to see beyond what the natural eye could see. He wanted to test the people to see whether they were really trusting him or whether they're trusting themselves. And Caleb and Joshua had a different report. You know, they didn't deny it. Yes, there are giants in the land. Yes, there's these challenges and trials. But God is promising this land to us. He's promising that we will inherit this land. He's going to do something miraculous. I don't know what it is, but he's going to give us this land. You know what? Every one of you has a promised land. I'm not talking about a deserted place. I'm talking about right now in your lives, every single one of you. There is a promised land. You were created for a purpose. You were created for something greater than just day-to-day mediocrity. Your promised land, you need to ask God, what is my promised land? And you need to pray for it, to stand on it and believe for it. Look with eyes of faith, not with eyes of the natural. Because you know what? It's discouraging looking day to day at the same things over and over again. But what happened to each of us on the mission trip is that we started looking with fresh eyes. God opened our eyes to see not only Fiji, but also to come back and see our community, see our friends, our family with a different perspective. We changed our lenses. We put on those binoculars and we can now see what God is wanting us to see. Many of you may need to go on a mission trip to get that. But I believe today that God is going to reveal to you a fresh vision, fresh anointing, fresh perspective. Because he doesn't want you to live your life just thinking this is it. You have a promised land. Don't ever forget it. God has great things in store for you. Don't settle. Don't settle for mediocrity. Do not settle for things that have caused you to feel strangled or caused you to cripple in fear. God has not given you a spirit of fear. He's given you a spirit of love, power, and a sound mind. Right? For the joy of the Lord is our strength. We do not need to fear. We do not need to fear. He has provided all we need. Now, my philosophy that I just love this quote, and I say it quite often. It's Eleanor Roosevelt says, do one thing every day that scares you. Do one thing where you're literally putting your faith into action. Going up to someone, sharing your testimony with them, speaking to a work colleague. You know, your mission field, like John and Denny said, may be your workplace. You don't have to go to Fiji or somewhere. It may actually be right here. Your mission field may be your family. Your mission field may be your students that are in your classes on campus. Your mission field may be your home. You know, God wants to give you a fresh perspective on the plans and purposes he has in your life and the lives of those around you. You're literally called to change the atmosphere. You're called to change the culture. The Holy Spirit that lives inside of each and every one of you is the same Spirit that overcame death through the power of the cross. Jesus overcame death because of the power that was in him and through him, which also lives in us. We don't need to settle, church. We don't need to settle for mediocrity. We can look beyond and trust God for greater things. I wanted to share very quickly a testimony about a girl here on my left called Lucy. About a month before we'd gone over there on a mission trip, she'd actually committed suicide. She was in a very depressed state. She was very stressed, and at that time, her family didn't realize how bad the situation was. Now, she drank a whole lot of pesticide, which caused her to go blind and put her into a coma for 3 weeks. After she, when she was in hospital, our pastors, Pastor Jarrett and Nicole Suniula, who I showed you a picture of earlier, they went into the hospital to pray for her. Her cousin is connected into our campus ministry over in Fiji. Now, this girl woke up and God so touched her heart. The fact that she was actually still alive is a miracle. You know, that she woke up out of this coma and that God gave her a second chance. She accepted Christ and is now walking with our Every Nation Fiji team over there. She was baptized last Sunday, and I'm just so encouraged by this girl's testimony because you know what? She had lost hope. She'd only been looking with her natural eyes. She hadn't yet discovered that actually God was wanting to change her perspective on her life, was wanting to restore hope. And now we see Lucy. I'm so encouraged by her. I spent a lot of time with her there. The way she talks now is so encouraging. She wants to share with everyone about Jesus. She wants others to know that God rescued her. God rescued her not only from depression, but saved her very life. Now she wants to live fully for him. It's just incredible. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone, the new is here. This is the case for so many others that we've encountered, that they've finally, it's almost like the veil has been lifted off their eyes and now they can see clearly. And now they live their life on purpose. There's a photo of us after the baptisms on Sunday where you'll see us all kind of mingling there with the locals, the Fijians there. We were so touched by their lives and so humbled just by the way they lived and the stuff that they would go through each day. The challenge it was to have water, the challenge it was to have food. You know, for us, we take that for granted, the fact we can just drink straight out of the tap, you know. These things we take for granted. But these people are some of the happiest people we've met. You know, I can probably speak on behalf of all of our team and say that we made genuine friendships with these people. We want to love people into the kingdom. We want to love people into God's kingdom. And that's what we did. We literally just spent time with these guys. We encouraged them. We prayed for them. And we saw that God was actually restoring hope and awakening excitement within them. And so, I mean, we even miss them now. I wish I was still in Fiji because the lives, I've not only, been able to bless others, I've been blessed in return. You know, for me, leading a mission team, I've never done that before. It felt like I was the grasshopper, you know, and it felt like I was like, wow, God, this is such an incredible responsibility. I don't want to fail at this. How many of you felt like that? God, you've given me such a responsibility. I don't want to fail at this. But you know what? Do you know what I had to do? I had to literally put it down at the cross and say, God, not my will but yours. God, I want you to be glorified through this mission trip. Have your way. And that was the coolest thing because he did have his way. And everything, all the testimonies that we've had has been all God. All God. And we're so blessed to have met these incredible people. But you know what? I just want to finish up here. I want to encourage each and every one of you that you know what? If you are in Christ today, which means you have repented of your sins, you've asked him into a personal relationship with you, you are a missionary. You don't have to go to Fiji. You don't have to go overseas. Some of you might need to, and some of you may have been called to missions, and maybe you'll be in the same position as me, actually leading mission trips. I hope so. But I want to encourage you right now, wherever you are, you're actually a missionary. You may be a missionary to your workplace. You may be a missionary to your home environment. You may be a missionary to your campus, a missionary to your family. You know, God has given each and every one of you a mission field. If you're not a missionary, you're a mission field. All right? So for some of you in here today, if you have not accepted Christ, you're actually our mission field. We're coming for you. Jokes. Well, not really. But, you know, each and every one of us, I believe today, God is wanting to renew our vision. He's wanting to refresh our focus and show us that, in fact, we don't need to go outside. Our mission field is right here. Our mission field is right here. Every one of you add value to the body of Christ. Every one of you in here is not random, not a mistake. You all add value.
We hope you've enjoyed today's message brought to you by Every Nation Brisbane. For more information about our church, visit us on the web at ianbrisbane.org. Thank you for listening. God bless.